We're holding on Mem Dalet Amud Beis by the second Mishnah, four lines from the bottom. Mishnah says, Shor Shehu Yotzei Lisokel, if a shor is being taken out to be given skila, so we've been talking the last couple of days about the various conditions under which that'll happen, but you do have where a shor needs to be given skila. By the way, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, that judgment has to be done by a Beis Din of 23. We learned yesterday about Reb Shimon pointing out there's a hekesh between the person and the shur, where it says, so Reb Shimon had learned from that, but the same way as if a person intends to kill one person and kills a different one, then Reb Shimon held it as his potter, the same way as shur, the Chachamim do agree with that hekesh, and they use it to teach us a different din, that when a shur is going to be judged and given skila, it has to be judged by a Beis Din of 23, just like a person would be. Anyway, so now the Mishnah says, bottom of Mdalad Amud Beis, shur shehu yotzei lisokel, when a shur is being taken out to be given skila, the dish, or not even being taken out already, but it means as soon as the Gemara Din has been done, as soon as they decided that yes, there's enough evidence and the circumstances are such that the shur gets skila. So then, the dishe bailav, if now the owner declares the shur hekdish ain't mukdash, then the hekdish is not valid because now it's also bahana. So now it's also bahana and he's not able to be makdish anymore. Tosfos actually points out, there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, particularly in a Gemara in Zvachim, who learns that the shur on Nisgal, now like this, we've learned before that the shur on Nisgal, after it's given skila, it's also bana, and for that matter, we said even if the owner were to shecht it, then, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say over here, that if you were to shecht it, the meat would be also. However, Rabbeinu Tam, in a Gemara in Zvachin, and briefly over here in Bava Kamma, learns that actually the shur haniskal is not also bahana while it's alive. So according to him, the vote is, you're not allowed to be makdashit or any of the other things that we're going to say in the Mishnah over here, because as soon as possible after the Gemara Din, it has to be taken out and given the skila, you can't delay things, so therefore you can't be makdashit, because even though in principle the hekdash would take effect for the short amount of time until it's given skila, but in practice, you're supposed to do skila as soon as possible. So you don't really have time to make it hektish. The Meiri actually adds that if you were to be makdish it, what you actually would have to do, you would make the owner be poydet, you would make him give hektish the value of it. After all, he did give it to hektish, and then Beis Din would give it skila. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. According to the simple way we would understand it, it would mean that you're not able to be makdashit because it's not your property anymore to be makdashit. According to the Meiri, it is your property to the extent that you're now going to have to be poydet from Beis Din, but it's still going to be given skila. Shotoi, and if he shechted it, the sorry osir that and if he shechted the animal after the Gemara Din, then the meat would be also as we've learned before. The im adshal enigma dina hikdisha bailav. What happens if before Gemara Din he was makdashit mukdash? Then it is mukdash until the Gemara Din. Eventually, when the Gemara Din comes, then we're going to have to take it out, and give it skila. Actually, that's the case that the Meiri is talking about. When he did it after Gemara Din, everybody would agree it's not his anymore to be makdish, so then there's no talk even of him being poydet from hektish. Rather, what the Meiri says is, if he was makdish it before the Gemara Din, the fact is, eventually it's going to be given skila. But meanwhile, in between, it is considered hektish. Rashi actually points out there's a different nafkamina. If he were to use the shur after that, he would have committed ne'ilah, because the fact is the hektish before Gemara Din is valid. Eventually it's going to be overridden by the fact that we need to give it skila. But nevertheless, in between, if he uses it, he would have committed me'ilah. And then again, the Me'iri says that in addition, also it means that we're going to require him to buy it back from hektish in order to give it skila. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. If at that point he shechts the animal before the Gemara Din, V'sarin mutter, then the meat is mutter to eat, because the concept that we learned before, where it says v'lo ya'ochol as v'sari or v'al asher noki, that would only apply after gemar din. Continues the Mishnah. Musra, a different din, not directly, not related to the previous one about before and after gemar din, but rather in general, when a person owns an animal and then he gave it over to a shomer and caused damage in the possession of the shomer, musra the shomer chinam or shoyl or nosa socher or socher, if he gave over the animal to one of the four kinds of shomerim, nichnasu tachas amaylim, then they go in instead of the owner, meaning that they take over responsibility for it. Therefore, more mashalim nezek shalim, the tam mashalim chatzin nezek. So if the animal is a moored, then they're going to have to pay nezek shalim for its damages, and if it's a tam, they're going to be paying chatzin nezek. What happens if the animal kills while it's in their possession? That we're going to see in the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabban, we learn in a Braisa, Shur Shahemis Adam, if a Shur killed a person, Shur Shahemis, if a person killed, Ad Shalin Nigmar Dino, if before the Gemar Din, Mochroi, the person were to sell the animal, Mochroi, it would be considered a valid sale. Now, a valid sale as far as what? Rashi says, the other person is going to be able to plow with it until the Gemar Din. In fact, the Maharshal has a Girsa in Rashi. You have the Rashi at the end of the previous Amud that says, even according to the Chachamim, we still say that now we learned yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda had held that if the ownership of the animal changed in between any of these three things, the actual killing, the Hamoda Bedin, going to Beis Din, and the Gemar Din, then we said Rabbi Yehuda would hold that now it's not Chayiv Skila anymore, only if it stays in the same ownership throughout. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. Nevertheless, it's still Chayiv Skila. Then Rashi goes on to say that Mocher and Mocher. So the Maharshal says this is actually one long Rashi that even the Chachamim would agree then that if you sell it, it is a valid sale insofar as you are able to, sell it for the time being for plowing. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that sale would actually save the shor from misa. But according to the Chachamim, it won't do that. But at least for the time being, you're going to be able to plow with it. Now Tosfos quotes one version of Rashi that says, why is it mocher and mocher? Because the seller can say, listen, as soon as you bought the animal, you could have shechted it. Who said that you, because after all, you knew that it was an animal that was killed, that had killed, and it's chayiv misa, why didn't you shecht it right away, given that I sold it to you before Gemar Din? Be that as it may, however, Tosfos says that may be, but then what about if he sold it after Gemar Din? Couldn't you say the same thing that, if nothing else, we should say, okay, he can't check it at that point, there's a will be usur, but at least then we should say that the money is considered a matana. Why do we say einu mocher, implying that he has to return the money? And Tosfos says, because not everybody knows that concept that Asher Anisko is usur to do, that a shor anisko has to be killed right away. He might think that it's mutter to shecht it or even to keep it around for a while to plow. So therefore it has to be considered a mekach tos. We can't say that he knowingly gave money for something which is osur. Be that as it may, Tosfos themselves points out that what it means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that says that that again that the shor anisko is mutter b'hano while it's still alive, then it means not just that it is sold, as the Gemara says over here, as far as that you can plow with it. The point is, in principle, the guy would be able to plow with it indefinitely. In practice, we have to take the animal as soon as possible and give it skila. But at least while he's doing that, then at least he is mutter to plow with it during that time. Whereas according to Rashi, it would be usur. He wouldn't be allowed to plow with it. But if he did, then nevertheless, you know, he still accomplished that. And therefore it would be, here we're talking about it's before Gemar Din. So therefore, mocher, so for sure it's sold. So again, according to the Chachamim then, the point is, it may not last by him for very long. He may only get a few days of plowing out of it before Beis Din does the Gemar Din, decides the animal is chayiv skila, and takes it away to give it skila, but meanwhile it is sold for that period of time. As opposed to after Gemar Din, then it wouldn't work, ein mocher, it wouldn't be a valid sale. continues the mission, continues the braise, hekdishoi, if he was makdish the animal before gmardin, mukdash, then it would be a valid hekdish, where again, the point is, me'ila would apply to it, he would have to buy it back from hekdish, etc. Shochto, if he shecht it before gmardin, besari mutter, then the meat of it is mutter tea. Hechzira shomer base by love, if at that point before the gmardin, the shomer returned it to the owner, so we're saying, in other words, that the shomer had killed while it was in the possession of the shomer, and now the case went to Beis Din, and before Gmar Din he returned it to the owner. Muchzer, then it is considered that he validly returned it. Now the owner can't say, wait, you gave me back an animal that's no good, that's about to be taken out to Skila. Nevertheless, the fact is Gmar Din has not taken place yet. Therefore it's okay. On the other hand, Bishan Nigmar Dina Mochre, on the other hand, if he sold it only after the Gmar Din, Ainay Mocher, then it wouldn't be a valid sale at all, which would mean, in other words, he'd have to refund the money. Whether because it's actually not considered his mammon at all, or according to Rabbi Natan, it is his mammon to that extent, but nevertheless it's a mekach tos, because the other guy will have thought that he can hold on to it for a certain amount of time, and really it's not so. Ein ma'aninus dinay, we're not going to delay the din as soon as possible after the gemar din, we're going to take the animal to be given skila. So therefore the new owner hasn't gotten much use out of it, and therefore it would be a mekach tos. So hikdisha ainim mukdash. If it was makdash at that point, then it's not hekdash. Then you don't even have the concept of me'ila in it, or having to buy it back from hekdash or anything like that, because it doesn't belong to him to be able to make it hekdash. Shachter, if at that point he shecht it, the meat is also, as we've learned before. And at that point, after Gmar Din, if the shomer were to return it to the owner, we wouldn't say that patters him from having to pay. He would still have to pay, because what he returned is not his mammon to be able to return. On the other hand, on the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees and says that no, even after Gmar Din, if the Shomer returned it, it would be a valid return, and therefore he's potter from anything further. The Gemara says, Lema b'hokam mifli. In that case, would we have to say that Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim are arguing on the following point, that Rabbanan Savri ein omim b'isurei hanah harei shalach l'panecha. Maybe apparently the Chachamim do not hold, when it comes to an Isur Hanah, that we don't say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. We're going to talk about this concept in more detail later in the Masechta, and then in the last Perakim of our Masechta. But say, for example, a person stole chametz from somebody else before Pesach. Now, after Pesach, if he didn't in between sell it to a guy, then that chametz is also b'hanah. Is he able now, after Pesach, to say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha? Look, I stole a pound of chametz from you. Here's your pound of chametz back. It's also b'hanah, and therefore you can't do anything with it. Not my problem. The fact is, I stole this amount from you, and I'm returning you this amount. Do we say that, or do we say that not? So it sounds like the Chachamim say, by Surah Anah, we don't say that. Therefore, they say that now the owner says to the Shomer, look, this ox is now also b'hanah. Your returning to me is not considered a valid return, because before it was mutter b'hanah, and now it's also b'hanah. V'Rabbi Yaakov Sava Omrim B'Yisurei Hanah Harei Shalach L'Panecha. It sounds like Rabbi Yaakov would say that type of thing is valid, that he could say by the chametz that Harei Shalach L'Panecha, in the same way here by the ox, he can say Harei Shalach L'Panecha. The question is that the machlokes? Omer Rabba, but Rabba says no. D'kula Alma Omrim B'Yisurei Hanah Harei Shalach L'Panecha. Everybody agrees that by Yisurei Hanah he is able to say Harei Shalach L'Panecha, because Di'im Kein Niflag Le'inin Chometz V'Pesach. Otherwise, if that weren't the case, the fact is we should find the Chachamim arguing in that case of Chometz V'Pesach. When we have in the next to last parak of Or Masechta, when we start dealing with these dinim of a gazlan and him returning the object that he stole, and what the details are on that, we find that din over there, that if a person stole chametz in Pesach and then after Pesach he returns it, then he can say Harei Shalach L'Panecha. Now, the Mishnah said, so now the way it goes over there actually is, we learn in the Mishnah over there that when it comes to Chametz or Pesach, if he returns it after Pesach, then he can say Harei Shalach Panecha. And the same way, sure, until the Gemar Din, but not after the Gemar Din. Now, who is it that holds the difference between before and after Gemar Din? Is the Chachamim, because according to Rav Yaakov here in our Gemara, there's no difference. So if the concern was, if the issue was that you can't say Harei Shalach Panecha by Yisrei Hana, why would they be arguing only by Asher Aniskol? They should be arguing about Chometz for Pesach as well. So obviously, therefore, it must be that in general we do say Harei Shalach Panecha, but only when the Isser comes on its own, for example, Chometz of Pesach. In other words, in that case, then you have to realize, by the way, in those times it wasn't really very common that people sold their chametz before Pesach. Nowadays everybody sells their leftover chametz before Pesach, so conceivably then the halacha would be different. I guess maybe when we get to this issue on Daf Tzadik Ches, maybe we'll look into that. But in any case. In those times, usually it was chametz before Pesach. You would use it up, you would eat it, or you would burn it when it came out of Pesach. So now, when it comes after Pesach, the owner of the chametz, so the gazlan is saying Harei Shalach Panecha. The owner can't say, yeah, but I would have done something else with it, because there isn't really much else that he would have done with it any different. So even the Chachamim would agree that he can say Harei Shalach Panecha. So why are they arguing when it comes to the Shor HaNiskol? Says Rabbah, there must be a different consideration, because here we're talking about that there's something that he could have done differently. So Ela Hacha Begoymin Dina Shol Shor Shalavufanim Kamifli. Here the Machlokas is: are you able to do the Gemar Din of the ox without the ox being present? Now the Chachamim hold that the Gemar Din, when Beis Din is going to decide that this ox is Chayev Skila, the ox itself has to be present. There are Mefoshim who say that maybe it means the owner has to be present, but for the most part, in general, the understanding seems to be that the ox itself has to be present. The same way as when a person, again, we learn from that Hefesh, Kemisus Bailam, Kachemisus Asher, the same way as when a person is being judged by Beis Din, he has to be present for them to decide that he's Chayev Nisa, the same way with the ox. So the Chachamim hold that's how it is. So therefore, the Omale, so now the owner has a valid claim against the Shomer. He can say, I had doubt in Niali, if you had returned the ox to me before the Gmar Din, have a Ma'arach Malela Agma, then I would have had the animal run away to the meadow. So it wouldn't be the fun of, and therefore Beis Din wouldn't be able to do the Gmar Din. Hashta Aspaster, the Turoi, the Adrab Deloyachilna Lishdu Yadine Bade. Now you cause my Shur to be grabbed by a Beis Din, by someone from whom I don't have a recourse against, meaning, in other words, I can't go to Beis Din and say, you're chayev for killing my ox. What do you mean? They're going to say, no, your ox is chayev nisa. We did exactly what we're supposed to. So therefore, I hold it against you, the shomer, that you shouldn't have done that. You should have given it back to me, where I could have taken care of the matter, and then therefore you're chayev for me for the hezek of the fact that I lost an ox, and you can't say that you just returned it, and that's that. You can't say Harei Shalach Panecha, because there's something different that you could have done. So that's what the Chachamim hold. Now Rashi also points out the point of, when he uses the expression I had doubt in the LA, if you had returned it to me, Rashi explains it doesn't really mean that he's saying if you had returned it to me, then I would have eaten it. Rather, Rashi says it's not so much the chiyuv that you didn't return it to me, because by chometz of Pesach also you can say if you had returned it to me before Pesach, I could have eaten it. Now I have something useless, and yet we don't say that. And even according to Rav Yaakov, fine, you need the shur to be around in order for Gemar Din, but according to Rav Yaakov also, why shouldn't the owner be able to say, if you had given it to me before the Gemar Din, I could have shechted it, now you waited until after the Gemar Din, and now I can't shecht it anymore. So rather, Rashi says, the chiyuv that the owner wants to be mechayev him is because he actually took the animal to Beis Din. So he's saying you actually took it to Beis Din, and therefore you caused me a loss rather than just leaving it. And if you had returned it to me, then I wouldn't have brought it to Beis Din. I would have had it run away. I would have had it run away to the meadow. Which now Tosfos has some discussion about that, and says among other things, Tosfos says for one thing, you know, and if he hadn't brought it to Beis Din, so Beis Din would have sent bailiffs to go and take it away from him. So you could still say so what's the problem? What did he do? So rather, Tosfos discusses that the machloikas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim over here would essentially be on the matter of what we learned in Gittin about Hezek Shein and Nicker Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek. Whether we say that a Hezek that's not physically visible on the thing, where it's only a ruchniyistik hezek. In this case, here the din of the shirt is different. Before it wasn't chayav misa, now it is chayav misa. So Tosfos learns that actually the machlokas of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim is basically on that point: is it considered hezek nicker or not? The Chachamim hold because ein goyim dinishol shirt ela b'fanav. Therefore, the fact that you when the shur was grabbed and brought to Beis Din, that would be considered a hezek nicker, because now you can see, before it wasn't in front of Beis Din, and now it is. So the Chacham would hold, that would be considered a hezek nicker. Rav Yaakov would say, look, you could do the Gemar Din even if the shur is not present, so therefore the shur, having been brought to Beis Din, is not really the cause of the nezek, so therefore that wouldn't be considered hezek nicker. That's according to Tosfos, that would be the understanding of the Machlokas. There's a couple of interesting things from Achronim on this as well. The Chassam Sofer points out, even though there is you do have a concept that the Gemara mentions in Cholin, that if you have a bird, for example, that killed somebody, and we know the concept of skila of animals applies not only to a shur, it applies to all animals or birds. We're going to learn in more detail about that at the end of the next parak. And the Gemara mentions there in Cholin that if you have a bird that killed somebody, then you don't have the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan. Adrabi, you have to bring it to Beis Din and have it killed. So Chassam Sofer says yes. When the bird is hefker, then anybody has to do that. Here, where the shur has an owner, then the Chachamim are saying what the Shomer should do: give it back to the owner before Gmar Din. Fine, it won't save it from Nisa, but at least at that point, now it's the owner's responsibility to take care of removing this dangerous animal from the world. So then the owner can go ahead proactively before Gmar Din and shecht it, and that way at least he can use the meat. And if he doesn't want to fulfill his chiyuv and he's going to make it run away to the meadow, fine, but it's not the Shomer's problem. That's on the owner that he did that, and Beis Din will sanction him as necessary, but the point is it's his responsibility. You can't say on your own, well, this is a dangerous animal, I have to kill it, because the fact is it does have an owner. In that connection also, the famous Rav Yitzchok Arhan Inspector points out in one of his truvas, and makes a point related to this as well, that it's the responsibility of the owner is to make sure the animal is removed from the world. If he wants to accomplish it by bringing it to Beis Din and have it given skila, fine, he can do that. But if he instead wants to accomplish the same thing by shechting it, that's also, he's entitled to do that before Gemar Din. So therefore, he has a valid claim, according to the Chachamim, against the Shomer, saying, why didn't you return it to me? And I would have dealt with it in my own way, rather than like this, you brought it to Beis Din, and now it ended up getting, skila. So that's the point of the Chachamim. If you were shechted before Gmar Din, then it would be fine. He'd be able to eat it. Yeah, before Gmar Din, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, that's what the Gemara is saying. Rav Yaakov Sava, Gurman Jinnah, Shal Shur, Shal Agafanav, whereas Rav Yaakov holds that no, the Gemar Din can take place even when the Shur is not there, the Amalei, so therefore the Shomer can say to the owner, Seif Seif, Migma, have a Gamer Leila Dinah, so it doesn't matter whether the animal had run away to the meadow, it's still, the Gemar Din would have been accomplished whether you were there, or whether the Shur was there or not to watch it, and therefore you can't say that I caused you any kind of hazard. Again, as Rashi says, it's not so much that the owner is saying, if you had given it to me, I could have shechted it, because after all, you could argue the same thing with chametz for Pesach. If you had given it back to me before Pesach, I would have eaten it. Rather, the point is that, as Rashi is saying, that he's saying that you actually went and gave it over, be a dying to Basin, and therefore you caused me a nezek. And Rabbi Yaakov says, what's the difference? Even if I hadn't given it over to Basin, they still would have done the Gmar Din, and once the Gmar Din is done, it would have been Osib Anna, whether it's in the meadow or not, and therefore I didn't make you lose anything.
So the other two are doing this is to make it hefker?
No, so according to the Chacham, making it hefker is not going to help. After Gmar Din, it's going to be Osib Anna regardless. Before Gmar Din, well, that's the thing. According to the Chacham, before Gmar Din, you could make it hefker, but it's not. But still, if the ox is not around anymore, according to the Chachamim, they won't be able to do the Gmar Din unless the ox is around. Therefore, that's what the owner is saying. Therefore, I have a claim against you. Why'd you bring the ox to Beis Din? Instead, you should have given it back to me. I would have had it run away, or I would have done something with it, where therefore Beis Din would not be able to do the Gmar Din. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov is saying there's no way to block Beis Din from doing
the Gmar Din. What did you get out of that?
We get out of it that he doesn't lose an ox. No, afterwards he can shecht it. Afterwards, that gives him at least time. That at least gives him time to decide what to do, whether he wants to shecht it or whatever. That's all points of action. The point of Tosfos again, the vote is that that the Chachamim are saying this is a hezek nicker, that you actually brought the animal to Beis Din, and Rabbi Yaakov was saying no, it's a hezek she'enin nicker, and you can't be mechayev a person only to some extent midrabbanan. You can be mechayev a person to pay for a hezek she'enin nicker, as we learned in Gittin, but midaraisa hezek she'enin nicker is loy shmei hezek, and here it's a hezek she'enin nicker. Rabbi Yaakov would say, says Tosfos, because either way the show could have been given skila regardless.
And hektish.
Hektish. We're not talking about hektish. We're talking about over here as far as a shrug. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that would be the point. Says Rabba of the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. Why so it's not a question of whether we say usually by Isurei Hanah Harei Shalach Lefanecha. Had it been the person stole chametz and didn't return it till after Pesach, yes, he could say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. He wouldn't be required to pay. But in this case, because according to Rashi, the owner says that you caused me a hezek via dayin, and according to Tosfos, because you caused me a hezek nicker, therefore you chayev to pay. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov would hold that it's not considered a hezek via dayin, because either way they could have made the shur oser even shaloi b'fanav, or because it's a hezek training nicker according to Tosfos, and therefore I the shur me I'm not chayev to pay. Okay, so the Gemara says my time is up on. So Rabbi Yaakov Sava Gomer Dinah Shalshur Shal Bifanov, Do Amalei. So he tells him, Soif Soif, Migma have a Gamer Leila Dinah, no matter what, either way, they would have been Gomer the Din, they would have given the verdict that the shirt is Chayiv Skila, whether the ox is here or not, because Rabbi Yaakov holds the ox doesn't have to be there to be sentenced to Nissa, so therefore I didn't do anything that wouldn't have been done otherwise anyway. So my time ended up done, and why do the Chachamim say that the Gmar Din has to be done with the ox present? Because the Pasuk says, I show you Sokov and Gamba all of Yomos. The Shur has to be given Skila, and also the animal, and also the owner should be put to death, which, as we've learned before, primarily means that the owner is Chayiv Nisa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore he needs to pay Kofer, but we also learn from it, Kmisas HaBailim Kach Misas HaShur, just at the same kind of rules as apply to the death of the Bailim, if he's Chayiv Nisa in a different case, the same way applies to the Misas HaShur, Ma Bailim Bifneim HaShur Bifonim, the same way as the Bailim, if the owner himself were to be Chayiv Nisa for killing or for something else, then he would have to be in front of Beis Din. Rashi says, we learn that from a pasuk that says, Ad Omdoi Lefneha Eda LaMishpah, that when can you sentence a Ritzayach? Only if he stands before the Eda, before the Beis Din, for judgment. So we see he has to be present.
The Shur also.
So therefore, so the Chum learned from that. So the same thing, the Shur, Ma Bailim Lefneim, HaShur B'Fonim, the same way the Shur has to be present. V'Rab Yaakov, what is Rab Yaakov's answer to that? A hekesh is a very strong thing. You can't easily slug that up. He says, B'Shlema Bailim B'nei Tainim. Because he says, you know what? The owner, the reason why he has to be in front of Beis Din is because he's capable of bringing up tainus in his defense. Why can't you sentence him in absentia when he's not present? It's because if he was present, he might be able to argue things in his defense, and without him being present, we don't have that. And since we know Beis Din has to try every possible angle to exonerate him, then therefore we want him to be present for that. El Asher Bartan also is Asher able to make a taina? Obviously not. So therefore, there's no purpose in having to have it in front of Beis Din. Which Tosfos says, fine, yes, we have the Hekish, but Yeah, we still have to realize that there's a svara to say that hekesh, usually we say a concept called ein hekesh lemechze. When we have a hekesh between two things in a pasuk, we don't do it by halves. We don't say we're makish it only for some things, but not for others. But Rabbi Yaakov says fine. But obviously the hekesh is only meant to apply to things that can logically apply to one thing versus another. And here that's not the case. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says that it's clear that the hekesh was never meant to apply to it can apply to, for example, the fact that both of them need a base din of 23. But we can't say that it should apply that both of them have to be present because there's no purpose in having the shur present. In that sense, in other words, it would sort of mean that Rabbi Yaakov's opinion then would sort of be similar to that of Rabbi Shimon, which we find in various places in Shas, which is called Darshinan Taima Dekra, where Rabbi Shimon says we try to look at the underlying reason for a din and then see when that din should apply. So it seems like Rabbi Yaakov's Shitta is somewhat similar to that. He's saying the underlying reason why the Torah demands that the person be present is so that he can give arguments on his behalf. And since a shur can't do that, then therefore that wouldn't apply. Whereas the Chachamim don't hold of that. They don't hold Darshin and Taima Dekra. And therefore they say that's it. It's a Gzeres HaKosev that the one that's going to be sentenced has to be present. Okay. So anyway, so that explains the machlokes between, between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Mosrei L'shem Chinam L'shoy Ochola, we said if the owner gave over the animal, had previously given the animal to one of the four kinds of Shoyimim, so then we said the shomer takes the place of the owner in terms of being chayev in any nizokin that the animal does, because he took responsibility for it.
Is this before the nizokin took place?
We're talking before the nizokin took place, right? So Tana Rabbanan, Arbon nichnasu tachas abayilim. There are four cases where they take over the responsibility from the owner. The Elohim shemachinam v'asheril nesesocha v'asercha. The four kinds of shomerim. Horgu. Now, what happens is, if the animal kills while it's in the reshus of the shomer, so then the usual rule applies. Tamim neharogim turim in akofer. If the animal was a tam, then the animal is going to be killed, and then we have the discussion that we said before: whether the shomer returns it before the gemar din, is that good enough? And now he's potter, or are we still going to be mechayev him according to the chachamim? Well, rather we said if we returned it before the gemar din, then we said definitely it was fine. If we said after the gemar din, then we said Rabbi Yaakov would hold his potter, the chachamim would hold his chayev, right? But anyway, hogu. So if the animal kills, tamin neharogin or turmin akoifer. So as usual, if the animal is a tam, it's going to get skila. The shomer is potter from koifer because koifer only kicks in once the animal's a muad. Muadin neharogin or shaman is a koifer. And if the animal is a muad, then it's also going to be killed, and then the shomer is going to be paying the koifer. Continues the Braisa, that the shomer is going to have to return, is going to have to repay the value of the shomer to the owner, with the exception of a shomer chinam, which is going to be potter from that. Now why that is, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Amri, heichi dami. So they ask, in the yeshiva, what is the case over here? Now you have like this. When it comes to guarding an ox, you have different levels of shmira. Yeah, we've touched on this before. We're going to talk about it more on Omer Beis. You have shmira pachusa. You have a lesser kind of shmira, which would be, for example, you put up a door which will stand the normal wind. So as long as weather conditions are fairly normal, then the animal will stay locked up in there. But then you have a hurricane comes and it'll knock down the door, and the animal can get out. So that's only shmira pachusa. It's not shmira ma'ula. Shmira ma'ula would be you put up a steel door and there's no way anything is going to knock it down. And yet some act of Hashem happened, or someone else, a ganav or whatever, came and broke down the door or opened the door or whatever, and the animal got out. We're going to learn on Omer Beis, we're going to have a machlokas. What do you need as far as a tam, and what do you need as far as a muad in terms of these kinds of shmira?
Aruba is for a tam. And
we're going to talk about that on Omer Beis.
Why is Hashem over here trying to pay the kofer? If it didn't happen, everything come wood in his property. He, the first two was someone else's property. Now he became wood.
Well, I mean, so
that will happen by him.
The pashtus we'd have to be talking about that it all happened by him. But yeah. Anyway. So hechi dummy. So what's the scenario? He did not today. If he actually guarded the animal, and he did shmira ma'ula, he did a sworn kind of shmira. So all of them should be potter. Okay, when we say all of them, strictly speaking, means besides the shoyl, fine, a shoyl is chayav an oinsin, but a shoyl mechinam, a shoyl mesocher, and a socher are all potter for oinsin, and even the shoyl, Tosfos points out, fine, to be exact, the shoyl would have to pay the value of the ox back to the owner, but at least he should be potter from kofir, because to that extent we shouldn't be machayev him because he did shmira ma'ula. And the idolin natre, and if he didn't watch it properly, after the shemachinam nichayev, then even a shemachinam would have to pay back because he was pesheya. So what's the scenario over here where we're talking about where all of them are chayev except for the shemachinam?
So Kim has to pay kofir.
That's what we're saying. Uh-huh. But. So the answer, Ami. So the answer, Halchav Ma'iskinen, the Natri Shmira Pchusa, Vloy Natri Shmira Ma'ula. The difference is that he did a Shmira Pchusa. He put up a door, but it wasn't a strong enough door. It was a door that'll stand, Beruach Mitzuya, but then comes a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya and knocks it down.
That's the thing.
So Shrei Mechinam, Kol Salo Shmirasai. When it comes to a Shrei Mechinam, his Shmira has ended, meaning all he needs to do in order to be considered a valid Shrei Mechinam. With a Shrei Mechinam, remember, the only thing he's chayav for is Pshia, only when he's downright careless with the thing that he's watching. Well, by putting up Shmira Pusa, he's not careless anymore. Therefore, he's accomplished the Shmira that he needs to. Therefore, he's potter from paying back the value of the shirt. Now he would still need kapara, Rashi points out, because he still needs kapara for the fact that an ox that was under his control killed, therefore we're gonna make him pay kofir, but he doesn't have to pay back the value of the ox to the owner.
Even for a time, yes,
yeah, no, not for a time, of course not. We're talking about for a more.
Wait, okay.
Yeah. So, on the other hand, Hanach like Kol Shmirasan, but when it comes to the other ones, they have a stronger degree of Shmira they have to do. For them, Shmira Pchusa is not enough. So relative to them, it would be considered Pshia. Therefore, not only do they have to pay the Kofa, which fine, even the Shemachinam will, they're also going to have to repay the value of the ox to the owner because that was Pshia. Interesting in this connection, actually, when the Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, and the Chachmei Luno asked him, he wrote a halacha over there that said, the version of it that they had in front of them said something like, if he gave it over to a shomer, then the owner is potter and the shomer is chayev. And the Chachmei Luno asked him, based on this gemara, it doesn't seem to work out. And the Rambam says, you know what? You have an incorrect version of my sefer. You have to remember, it was all in hand. It was all in manuscript at that point. And he gives them the correct girsa, which we have in our Rambams, which agrees with what we're saying over here. That if he gave it over to a shomer, then it depends whether the shomer did shmira poser or shmira maula or whatever. In fact, by the way, there are Rishonim who learn over here, and in fact, the Rambam also learns that different than what Rashi is saying over here. Rashi is saying that when we say over here he's going to be chayev and kofer, means even the shomer chinam, because he's still going to require kapara. On the other hand, the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim hold that no, actually he will be potter from kapara as well, because again, as far as him, all he needs is shmira pchusa, and then that patters him from everything, even from kofer.
But kofer is just because someone got killed, right?
Kofer is because somebody got killed, but specifically got killed by a muad, yeah.
Why is he paying kofir?
So that's the thing. Rashi says, because you have to consider there's two different things over here. There's a chiyuv of money to the owner because he was careless with the animal. Well, he wasn't careless. He did shmira pchusa. On the other hand, there's a kapara that he needs for the fact that a human being, that a yid, was killed by his shur, or what's temporarily his shur, and therefore he should need kapara. So according to Rashi, we're saying that even the shemachinam is going to require kofir. I'm saying what we're saying is the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim learn that actually no, he would be potter even from kofir, because the fact is he did the kind of shmira that he's supposed to, right?
Yeah,
Shmira
Pukha for Hashem Chinam is good enough, right? Right.
Whereas for Tom, you need Shmira Meula.
Well, that's what we're going to learn on Amud Beis, whether that's so, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, we're going to see soon. Yeah. Okay. So Amri, but now the Chachamim ask, Kaman, well, if we're going to explain the Braisa that way, we're going to say, in other words, that the reason why the Shem Achinim is Potter and everybody else is Chayiv, the Shemir Akhusa, well, Kaman, who is this Braisa following? E could have mayor, if it holds like your mayor who says that by a Muad, you need Shemir Ma'ula, and therefore, he or the animal was a Muad, and therefore he did Shemir Ma'ula, and therefore he only did Shemir Akhusa, and it's not enough. The Amash Soicher for Shem Achinim Dami, and furthermore, Rav Meir also holds that a Soicher has the dinim of Shem Achinim, because after all, the Torah specifies what the dinim are for Shem Achinim, for Shem Asachar, and for a Shoyl. The Torah doesn't specify in so many words what are the dinim of a Soicher, where he rents it. All the Torah says is Msachihu Bob Ischore. He's come with his payment, implying that he has a lesser degree of responsibility than the Shoyl. How much less? You have a machlokas in several places in Shas, whether he's like a Shem HaSachar or like a Shem HaChinam. Well, Rav Meir holds that he's like a Shem HaChinam. So then in that case, listening chutz mishrem achinam va'asoicher. Well, then the Braisa should have said that everybody except for shrem achinam and a soicher is potter in this case. according to him, a soicher and a shrem achinam have exactly the same dinim. The e could have Yehuda dami. If the Braisa goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a soicher has the dinim of a shema socher, and therefore, he would have a higher degree of responsibility. Well, but he also holds further down on this amud that with a muad it's enough to do shmira posa. So then, in that case, so nisni chutz mishrei mechinam v'kulan b'mu'odin turin leinin kofer. Then the Braisa should have said, the Braisa, fine, it could say chutz mishrei mechinam, but it should say that all of them are potter by mu'od as far as kofer, because they did shmira posa, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold by mu'od, shmira posa is enough. So who is the Braisa like? It doesn't seem to be inconsistent, whoever it goes like. So like Moses says, Amar Avonu Bachinu Hamani Rabbi Yezid. You can answer that the Braisa goes like Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar, where he says in the next Mishnah, Ein lo shmira el sakin. Rabbi Eliezer says by a muad, even shmira ma'ula is not enough. The only valid shmira for a sure muad, says Rabbi Eliezer, is to shecht it. So therefore he can be mechayev. The shomrim, even if they did shmira ma'ula, let alone when they did shmira posa. So therefore, that is why they're going to have to pay kofer. As far as the value of it, as far as repaying the owner the value of the shur, they should have done shmira meula because they're getting paid, and therefore that's why we're going to be except for the shur machinam because he's not. So that would make the braisa work. So we say the braisa goes like Rabbi Yezer. So all of them are chayev because it was only Shmira Pusa, and they didn't do the Rabbi Eliezer considers the only valid Shmira Ma'ula is to actually shech the animal, and they didn't do that. Therefore, we can be Mechayev them Kofer, and in all four of them, according to Rashi, and we can be Mechayev them three out of the four of them to pay the value of the ox back to the owner because they didn't do that. Now, Rashi points out, you can't say the cases where they did Shmira Ma'ula, because then at least they should be potter from paying the owner. Fine. Emo Shmira El Sakin would be a reason to be Machayev them and Koyfer. They still can't say, the owner still can't say, look, you should have shechted my animal. What do you mean? We borrowed it from you, or we rented it from you, or whatever. It wasn't our business to shecht it. So if they did Shmira Ma'ula, if they actually put up a strong door, for example, then they have every right to say we shouldn't have to repay you for the animal, except maybe a shoyl, fine, because a shoyl is chayiv even ba'onsin, but certainly not a shem sacher and a socher. So we have to say necessarily we're talking about where there was shmira posa. That is why we can be machayev the shem sacher or the socher or the shoyl to repay the value of the animal to the owner. And because in addition, according to Rabbi Yazir, ein lo shmira el sakin. Therefore, in addition, we can also be machayev them to pay the kofer to the yoshim of the victim.
This is after the nezek V'sakin?
This is talking about, no, of course, if they shafted it, then no, they shafted it, then it's impossible for it. No, we're talking about he didn't do sakin, that's the point. They didn't shaft.
But if they wouldn't have sakin,
if they shafted it, then obviously there's no nezek, then the animal didn't cause damage. Abaya omel olam kira meir. Abaya says a different answer. You could make the brayse to work like a meir. You're saying, according to the mayor, the problem is that a mayor holds that a soicher is like a shrem chinam. So why did the braisa say there's an exception only for a shrem chinam? It should say for a shrem chinam and for a soicher. Because you could say the braisa is v'chidam machlif rabba baravu of a tani. Because the braisa follows rabba baravu's version, which flips around the opinions. Soicher kates mishalim. The mayor oimuk v'shem soicher. Rabbi Yehuda oimuk v'shem chinam. Rabba baravu's version of the braisa has it the other way around. Reb Meir holds that a socher is like a shema socher, and Reb Yehuda holds he's like a shema chinam. Well, very well then, this braisa follows that opinion. Therefore, according to him, a shema socher is like a socher. A socher is like a shema socher. So therefore, there can't be any exception for him. If there's no exception for a shema socher, there's not going to be one for a socher either. And the braisa would follow Reb Meir, who says you do need shmira ma'ula, shmira p'chusa is not enough. Therefore, by Shem Echinam, it's enough for him to do Shemira Pchusa, but by all the other ones, they need Shemira Ma'ula, and if not, then they'll chayav to pay the value back to the owner.
Where do you see this in the words? I don't see this.
We see right over here, because B'chidim, Abai Amal, Olam Kreb Meir, the Braise is going like Kreb Meir. You have, at the top of the Omud, we said the problem is that then it should say, Chutz Shem Echinam, Bahasoicher, the answer is, because Reb Meir, because this Braise holds that a Meir holds that a Soicher is like a Shem Echinam. The answer is the braisa follows Rabbi Baravu's version. So that takes care of the problem that we said at the top of the Omer, that it should have said, and now all we need is that the braisa should follow an opinion that says that you need Shemira Ma'ula, and that is the opinion of a mayor further down on the Omer. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Elazar, Moser Shoder to Shoma Chinam, if a person gave his Shor to a Shoma Chinam to watch, Hizik Chayel. If that ox caused damage, then the Shomer is going to be Chayel to pay for the Nezah. Huzak, but if the animal itself was injured by another animal, Potter, then the Shoma Chinam is Potter. So, Amri, so they ask, Hechi Dami, what's the scenario? Id Kabbal Lishmiris Nezokov, if we're talking about that the Shomer took on himself the responsibility to guard against any Nezokin, whether this animal that he's watching is the one that was, is the one that injures or the one that was injured, Afilo Huzak Nami Lechayev, then he should be Chayev even if it was injured because he took responsibility for that. The Idol Kabbalah Lishminus Nezokov, if he wasn't accepting responsibility for Nezokin at all, he says to begin with, when I'm accepting the animal, I'll take care of it, I'll feed it, I'll water it, or whatever, but I'm not taking responsibility for Nezokin. So then Hizik Nami Lifter, then he should be potter either way because he didn't take that responsibility. So what's the case where he's Chayev, where it caused Hezek, but potter if Hezek was caused to it? We are talking about we accepted responsibility for the Nezakin. Because we're talking about where the Shomer knew that this ox is prone to goring, and he accepted Shmira. So by default, we assume that what kind of responsibility is he accepting? He's willing to accept on himself the responsibility that show shouldn't go and cause damage to others. But that other oxen should go and injure it, especially since given that it's prone to gore. Then Rishonim point out, therefore, other animals are more likely to stay away from it because they're afraid of it. Because other animals should attack it. Loi askadaita, he didn't picture that, he didn't imagine that. Therefore, we can talk to him for that because we can assume that when he took on the shmira of Nezokin, without specifying, he didn't mean to take on something for that. Mishnah says.
Well, he had confidence that.
He had confidence maybe that no other animal will attack it, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. Kosher Baila B'Moseira, if the animal, now let's talk about what kind of Shmira is necessary for a Tam versus a Mu at this point that we were dealing with a little bit before. Kosher Baila B'Moseira, if the owner of the animal tied it up with a rope, the knob in front of Paroi, or he locked the door, or closed and locked the door properly in front of it, where properly means it's something that would stand Beruach Mitzuya, which is what we called before Shmira Pchusa, the Yotze Vehizik, and it still went out and caused damage. Echad Tamba, Echad Mord Chayev, did it a mayor, then a mayor says you're going to be Chayev whether the animal was a Tam or a Mord. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tam Chayev, Mord Potter, Rabbi Yehuda says you're only Chayev if the animal was a Tam, but if it was a Mord, then you're Potter once you did Shmira Pchusa. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, V'lo yishmerenu ba'olav, because the Pasuk says by Mord, the owner has not guarded it. And that Pasuk is talking about Mord, meaning, in other words, that, so v'shomu hozeh, in this case, he has done Shmira. So therefore, even Shmira Pchusa is enough. Now, what's the logic behind it? Here again, you have this point that the Meiri says, once you have a coil, the animal is a Mord, then people and animals know to stay away from it. So therefore, therefore, if you hold the figure, is that a Shmira Pchusa is enough for it. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says, like we said before, no, the only valid way of shmira for an animal that's mu'ad is to shecht it, and if you don't, then you're responsible whether you did shmira chosa or shmira mu'ad.
That's really outrageous.
It's not outrageous.
You're going to do a shmira, oh, only way I can do shmira.
The answer is, once the animal is a mu'ad, then you have that responsibility, yeah. You have the concept ein v'shochat elo moshach. Shchita is the Gemara mentions in Cholin that shchita is a back and forth motion, but it also includes the idea of moshach, like you're drawing down, you're bringing this animal to a higher level of kedusha. So therefore, in a certain sense, you know, when it comes to avodah, Rabbi Eliezer was saying that a person has their own internal shur. Sometimes it's gotten so bad, the only thing you can do is in the shochat elo moshach. You have to completely go and elevate it to kedusha. There's no way that you can just guard it anymore and say that just guarding shmira pchusa, shmira ma'ola is enough. So the same way he's saying over here.
We're talking about before.
We were saying that according to shur mechina, maybe not, but the other kinds of shur mechina. So the Gemara says, so it comes out, in other words, in short, Rashi says you have three opinions. According to the mayor, if it was a Mord and he did Shmira Pchusa, you'd be Chayev. If he did Shmira Ma'ula, you'd be Potter. According to the Yehuda, you'd be Potter either way. And according to the Eliezer, you'd be Chayev either way. So the Gemara says, my time did a mayor. So why does a mayor say that you need Shmira Ma'ula for a Mord? Kasavar. Because the mayor holds sam shvarim lav becheskas shimur kaimi, most oxen are not guarded. Meaning people don't usually guard their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. They usually just let their oxen wander around freely. So the Torah is saying, Hashem is saying, when it comes to a tam, be mechayev him when the animal injured, when the animal caused damage, when it was a tam, and that way, that way he'll learn in the future, at least after you shmira pusa, at least after close the door to the stall to prevent the animal from getting out. Then when the Torah says by a mu'ad, when it adds the words v'loyishmeranu, that means then that means that now at this point it's a mu'ad, shmira pusa is not enough. Now you need to upgrade to shmira mu'ula, the yalif negichalatam negichalamuad, and we learn by Xeda Shava that the same rules apply to tam and to muad, because, in other words, without the Xeda Shava, we would say fine. For a tam, shmira pchusa is enough. For a muad, you need shmira m'ula. But after all, we have a Xeda Shava between them, because by both of them, the Torah uses the expression ki yigach, or words to that effect. So you learn, ultimately, that the same din that applies to a muad, says your mayor, applies to a tam as well. So both of them require shmira ma'ula rather than, and if you only did shmira pchusa, then you're going to be chayim. Rabbi Yehuda silver stam shvarim becheskas shimu kaimi. Rabbi Yehuda holds people do generally watch their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. So therefore, v'omer achmana tam nishalim. So the Torah is telling us that when the animal is a tam, you still have to pay. Dini bori le shmira ma'ula, meaning because in other words, you did Shmira Pchusa until now, but that's not good enough. You really need Shmira Ma'ula. So you didn't do Shmira Ma'ula, therefore, and your animal, your tam, went and caused damage, therefore you're chayim. Hada Amar Achmana, V'lo Yishmeranu, Gabi Mu'ad, then when it comes to a Mu'ad, when the Torah says, V'lo Yishmeranu, now it can't mean Shmira Ma'ula, we already have Shmira Ma'ula by the tam. that the Torah is requiring us. Therefore, the never the Shemir Mola. So what is it saying? You need Shemir Mola. Have a ribu yachar ribu. So therefore, that's one ribu after another. Then ribu yachar ribu. Elamayit miyat akos of the Shemir Mola. I mean, the Torah is downgrading and saying you don't need the Shemir Mola anymore. You're going to say, what about the Gzeder Shava between Tam and Mord? The fact is, but the Pasuk says, that he doesn't guard it, meaning, he only has to guard this one, not a different one, meaning, in other words, that the Torah itself is clearly making a distinction between a Mord and a Tam. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? The fact is, the word v'lo yishmuranu, we need to be told that if he doesn't guard it, what happens if he doesn't, v'lo yishmuranu, if he doesn't guard it, then he's going to be chayiv, implying that if he guards it, he's potter. So we need the word v'lo yishmuranu for that. And the answer is, in kain nechrenachmana v'lo yishmur, because then the Torah could have said v'lo yishmur without the yishmuranu. My v'lo yishmuranu, lozev lo lacher, it means that it's a miut. It's not just legufa, it's not just lav, or Tosfos actually brings a girsa legufa, meaning just to tell us that you have to guard it. But the point is, then could have said v'lo yishmer and nu means that it's a miut only for this one, not for a different one. So therefore, it means that there's a difference between tam and muad, says Rav Yehuda. Tosfos, by the way, brings a girsa. Now, when we're saying over here b'cheskas shimur kaimi and lav b'cheskas shimur kaimi, so Rashi had explained Rameir's lav b'cheskas shimur kaimi means people don't usually guard their oxen to prevent them from causing damage. They usually just let them roam around free. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold svam shvam b'cheskas shimur kaimi, people do usually guard them. Tosfos brings a girsa the other way around, because when we talk about the Cheskas Shimur, do we mean what people usually do, or do we mean what is necessary to do in order to prevent the animal from causing damage? So you can have the other way around. The mayor holds that most oxen are the Cheskas Shimur, meaning most oxen are in a guarded state, meaning in other words, your average ox is not prone to gore such that you should have to do anything to guard it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say, "Stam shron lab b'cheskas shimur kaimi." Your average ox is prone to going and getting and getting angry and gory.
That's cultural.
Well, that's so this, right. So that's the thing. So
yeah, college won't see it,
right. So yeah. Right. So in other words, the question is, when we say b'cheskas shimur and not b'cheskas shimur, are we talking about what people usually do in terms of guarding the animals, or are we talking about the animal itself? Is it prone to gore or not? According to Rashi's explanation and the gears that we have in front of us in the Gemara, we're focusing on what people usually do. Do they usually guard their oxen, or do they not? According to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Tam's gears, it's the other way around. What is the ox itself normally prone to do? According to the mayor, it's not. According to the mayor, it usually is b'cheskas shimur in the sense that it's prone, that's not prone to going and causing damage. So when it does, the first time, then the Torah says, you have to start doing Shemira Pulsa. And after that, eventually, you upgrade to Shemira Mo'ola. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, again, would say, you start out with that the animal, by default, is dangerous, and therefore, as a tam already, you have to upgrade to Shemira Mo'ola, and then by a mod, then again, we can downgrade to Shemira Pulsa because it says V'loi Shemiranu, because of the miyot and the posse.
I mean, just growing up, you always hear a bull, you have to be careful because they...
But it depends, really. I mean, you're saying, bull, you always have to be careful. The truth is, it depends. The Gemara, for example, in Brachas mentions that when you're davening Shemana Esrei, if you see a bull, then you're allowed to interrupt Shemana Esrei in order to run away from it. However, the Gemara says, but they're only under certain conditions. Only Shor Shachor V'Mei Nissen, only when it's a black ox doing Nissen time, when the animal, like here, it's been cooped up all winter, and now it first gets to run around. So therefore, it's like feeling its oaths and feeling very proud of itself and more likely to, But in other words, the implication would be that your average ox is not considered necessarily that dangerous. But yeah, and obviously you're talking about bull, like in a bull ring, but fine, we learned about it before. No. That's different. Bullfighting is a whole different thing. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether how we douse in the psukim. So the Gemara says, Tanya. Now we have other opinions on the subject. We learn in a braisa, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that either way, whether you did Shemira Pchusa for either a Tam or a Mord, either way, Either way, you're going to be potter. My timer. Sava like Rabbi Yehuda d'amar more b'shmira posa sagila b'sagila. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda who darish in the pesukim, as we said, to say that a more all you need is shmira posa. V'yalef negicha l'tamar negicha l'mor. Now he does hold of the gzera shava between tam and more because it says negicha by both of them. So therefore he says whatever applies to a more, it has to apply to a tam. If by a more shmira posa is enough, then by a tam also shmira posa has to be enough. Here we said before that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said we don't douche in the Gzeira Shava because it would be contradicted by the miut. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you can do both. You have the miut, and then in turn, the Gzeira Shava tells you to apply that miut to the tam as well. However, the Gemara says, Omer of Adama Ava, like Potter Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Tzad Ha'adosh. Even Rabbi Yehuda, though, is only pattering him for the aspect that now the animal is a mur. As we've learned before several times, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Sad Tamus from Koima Imedes. This is where we get this from. Rabbi Adaba Abba understands Rabbi Yehuda to be saying Sad Tamus from Koima Imedes. When an animal becomes a Mord, it's not that it loses the status of a Tam and now becomes a different status to Mord. Rather, a Mord is a Tam plus. Whatever applied to it as a Tam continues to apply, and in addition, we have the Dinim of Mord placed on top of it. So therefore, says Rabbi Adaba Abba, Rabbi Yehuda is only going to, when he says that Shmira Posa is enough, and your potter would only be as far as the Mord part. Abel Sad Tamus, when Koyman Medes, the fact that until now it was a Tam, that still remains in place, and therefore, in other words, so he'd be Chayev Chatzi Nezek. So like this, the animal became a Mord, and he only did Shmira Pusa, Rabbi Yehuda would hold, he still continues to pay only Chatzi Nezek. He doesn't pay Nezek Shalim because he did Shmira Pusa, and Rabbi Yehuda learned from the Pesukim that for a Mord, Shmira Pusa is enough. But nevertheless, he will still be chayev for the half of it that it was a tam. Tosfos says he's getting that from a svara because you're not going to say that because it became a mur, therefore he should be potter with shmira posa. The logic would be he still has to be chayev for the same kind of thing. Just for saying he's only going to be chayev chatzi nezek. Now, according to the svara of the Iri before that said once the animal becomes a mur, people and other animals know to stay away from it. Then that svara of Tosfos might not apply. Maybe we would say that Rabbi Adaba Abba would have to know in some other way. At this point, he wouldn't just be able to learn it. He wouldn't just be able to learn it from svara.
It doesn't wear a sign,
but still, in a small town, which is where people have oxen like that, everybody knows each other and each other's animals and whatever. Yeah. Tosfos points out that it means, in other words, that we end up applying this Tzad Tamus from Koyma and Menes, both Lechumra and Lekola. We learned previously, for example, that Sad Tamas from Koyma and Medes, here we're saying that it applies Lechumra, that we still require him to do Shmira Ma'ula, otherwise he's Chayev for what it does at a time. We also learned that it applies Lekula, for example, that we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when the Mord causes damage, we still say Chatzi Nezek of it is paid only Migufa, only the other half of the Nezek is paid Min Ha'aliyah. Now we've learned before, remember that when we pay chatzi nezek, when the animal is a tam, we only pay migufoi, meaning that we only pay up to the value of the animal and no more than that. So you could have, let's say, the animal is worth 100, it caused 500 worth of damage, and now as a mord, you're responsible for the whole 500, but chatzi nezek of it is only going to be payable out of the animal itself. That means one half of the nezek is going to be capped at 100. The other half of it, the 250, is going to be paid min aliyah. So altogether, he's only going to be paying 350, for example. And that's with they what? Min Aliyah, right. Because he's paying 250 Min Aliyah, but he's paying only 100 Migufay, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So it comes out that we're using this concept of Tzad Tamas from Koyma and Medes, we're using it Lekula as well. And Tosfos says that's just it. Once we say Tzad Tamas from Koyma and Medes, then we have to apply it across the board. If it applies the Chumrah, and based on the Svara, that you can't say that you should have to do less Shmira for it because it's a Mord, then it's going to have to apply Lekula. It's going to have to apply Lekula as well. One thing Tosfos does say is there would be a difference in what happens if the guy is moide in Beis Din. Now, as a tam, we say he's potter because moide b'knas potter, and by a tam, it's only chatzi nezek. By a mord, he's moide. That he comes to Beis Din and says, my ox caused damage, and I'd be chayev in chatzi nezek. So he's potter because chatzi nezek is a knas, and a knas, a moide b'knas potter. So now what happens if it's a mord? Tosfos says, no, once the animal becomes a mord, then even if we say Tzad Tamas from Koyma and Medes, we still say the entire payment now becomes mammon rather than knas, therefore we are going to be machayeg in the payment.
We're not
Not forget about kofar. We're talking about as far as damages to animals.
Okay.
So kofar is not relevant, but we're going to be mechayev him to pay the entire amount, the nezek shalim, because to that extent we don't say that half of it is a knas and half of it is mammon. Rather, we say all of it becomes mammon. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll finish up this matter of Tam and Muad and finish up the parents, Bez Hashem.